All right, welcome to Living in Southern Maryland podcast, where we explore the people and places that make Southern Maryland unique. In this episode, we're thrilled to introduce our guest, RJ Bean. RJ Bean is a St. Mary's County native and embodies the spirit of community and dedication to progress. A devoted husband to Mel and proud father to two energetic boys, Zach and Max, RJ's love for family and commitment to building a better future are the core of everything he does. So without further ado, let's dive into our conversation with RJ.
So, first off, thanks for the introduction there. I feel like it's something that I might have wrote about myself to inflate my ego a little bit. No, I'm joking. Really, really, really kind words there. But you kind of hit the nail on the head with what Little League is. And we're all about the community down here, right? St. Mary's Little League is the league for every kid in this community. So whether a kid's picked up a baseball or softball once in their life, 50,000 times in their life, they got a spot on a team with us here at St. Mary's Little League. And we strive to instill that community spirit once they join with us, right? So we're teaching baseball and softball at the T-ball level all the way up to 16-year-old junior, senior level. But within that, we're also teaching those life lessons about being part of a team, being part of a community, ways to contribute positively to society and just be awesome at what you do, not only from an athletic perspective, but from a human perspective. And, you know, in today's world, that's of the utmost importance, right? Teaching the youth to feel valued, to feel their worth, to know their worth, to give them that confidence to take their skills to the next level. And, that's what we're all about here. It's glorious.
That's awesome, man. Like, yeah. And we're part of it too. My son Sawyer plays, and is actually RJ was his coach at one point. But it's one of those organizations you definitely feel included from the time we were in minors to now we're in majors and hopefully, you know, going to continue and progress. We never felt like, we were left out or couldn't play, or even despite any kind of skill level or any other kid too that had different skill level, it never felt like it was an exclusive kind of organization. You always felt included. And I think that's awesome. And the coaches always coach kids up, it seems like, and work well together. But this, like, including everyone means you have a lot of people you have to include. And it sounds like, you know, you need a lot of people to do that. Do you get a lot of volunteers to kind of help you guys out, or how does that kind of work?
Yeah. So we've, as a league over the last few years, we've seen tremendous growth. So when I took over as president about 4 years ago, our numbers from registration perspective in the spring season were right around like the 800, 850 mark. Just this season alone, spring 2023, we're already at 1,200 kids. So within 4 years, we've kind of had a huge increase in participation. And with that, 1,200 kids, that can average out to roughly, a little over 100 teams, which means we need at least 100 managers. But in reality, we need two assistant coaches for those teams. So we need about 300 volunteers. The younger divisions tend to get a couple more coaches because, you know, they need a lot of assistance with running station work, things like that during practices. So any given season right now, we're looking at, you know, 3+ volunteers that we need to sustain the organization. And that's just from the front end perspective of getting the kids, the coaches they need to run practices and games. And sometimes it can be difficult. I say the difficult part is really happening in the younger divisions with the T-ball, biddy ball area. And that's just because a lot of parents might be new to the sport. Might come out and say, hey, I've never played baseball or softball before. I'm not sure what I'm doing here. What's great about it, though, is we always get the managers that we need. And we as a league provide a lot of training opportunities for these volunteers to make them feel comfortable and confident in running practices and games. Little League offers a university that's free to volunteers. It's called Little League University. But then we as a local league offer what we call a coaches clinic each season. And what that is we try to bring all the managers and invite assistant coaches out. They get a safety briefing from our safety officer to, you know, hey, look for concussion symptoms. If you have an injury, here's the process to deal with that. Those coaches get to meet with our training coordinator, who gives them tips and tricks on what to look for some proper teaching techniques to establish a foundation for the younger kiddos, and then to build upon that foundation for the older kiddos. And then we do a breakout session with the VPs for each individual division, where they can, it's a live Q&A, and they can ask any and every question that they have on their brain about, hey, I'm new to this. How do I run a practice? What do games look like? All that fun stuff.
It's crazy to me too. Like all the stuff that goes in it. And I think a lot of people don't know there's so much training as a coach that you can have. And I heard you say, like, you know, the littler ages are tougher to find volunteers. And I think it's because, like you said, they just don't know what to do. I mean, it's tough to corral a bunch of little kids. It really is. And when you're trying to corral them on a baseball field too, it can be tough. But it sounds like there's some, you know, you're not going to throw a gutter ball. There's some rails in place where you're not going to flounder by yourself. You got a lot of support behind you. And I bet that, I hope one thing from this is that a lot of people understand that there's a whole organization behind you. If you choose to volunteer, if you choose to coach, just you're thrown out to the, you know, the cats out there in the field trying to herd little kids around.
Baptism by fire, right? Yeah. So it is that support system. And they have, again, we have a lot of tools available. And what's great to see, Rob, is when we do get these new volunteers coming in at the bitty ball, t-ball level, what we're seeing trending is they're coming back next season, and then they come back next season. And now we've captured these volunteers that have parents that want to return to their team, and they're loving life and loving the coaching life, and just keep growing and progressing with the league, with just like the
kids. I notice too, as a parent, you see the community between coaches, especially in the majors and stuff like that. Every single coach that is out there on the field, there's no real animosity between everyone. It's not teams against teams. Everyone's kind of working together. You see other coaches come on the field and cheer on other teams and stuff like that. Sometimes it might be a little scouting or something going on too, but for the most part, it seems like they're cheering on each other and having a good time. I think a lot of people think they're going to get into this ultra competitive, you know, high stakes thing and let their team down or let parents down, but it's not. It's a community kind of event, getting people out there and getting people enjoying a sport that, you know, everyone can participate in. Everyone has a place to play baseball. So another thing, we're talking about volunteers for coaches and stuff like that. I know personally we had some trouble with umpires. Like, is that part of St. Mary's Little League? Like, is if someone's watching this and they always wanted to be an umpire, would they tell you about applying for that kind of stuff? Is there another organization they go to?
Yeah. So if anybody's watching this right now, or when this gets released and they are interested in volunteering, please reach out to me. So from a nationwide perspective, I mean, you've seen it probably on your social media feeds, on the news, if you watch traditional news, and probably in newspapers across the country, there is just an umpire, a referee shortage across the nation. And we are feeling it here locally as well. Umpiring and refereeing, this is for all sports, youth sports to the professional level, is a thankless job that requires you to be kind of strong in the way you feel and the way you react to things. And I am not knocking any parent in any organization. I don't want you to think this, but it's a tough job when you're calling balls and strikes behind the dish, and you might have a parent that says, oh, that wasn't a strike, or, oh, come on, Blue, you're terrible, kind of thing. Nobody wants to go out there and hear that on a Monday through Saturday when they're, you know, essentially volunteering their time. I say essentially volunteering because our umpires are paid. So it is a paid position, but I can promise you the umpires do not do it for the pay. So right now, St. Mary's Little League, we currently pay, I want to say it's $55 for plate umpires, and then $45 for umpires that are out on the base path. I can tell you, and you've seen it, Rob, with Sawyer playing at the majors level, we have had games that didn't have umpire coverage. There were times where I myself had to umpire three games this season. Finding the time to do that was a little difficult, but knowing that these games, you know, required an umpire per rule book and needed an umpire to help move the game along and manage the game, I stepped up and did it. So we're always looking for umpires. And again, back to the training thing, we have an umpire in chief on our board that runs
That's
training for the umpires. We do provide the uniforms for the umpires, and we do have discounts and help to purchase gear. And we do have some used gear that they can borrow until they get their own. It's a really nice fraternity of individuals that are there for the kids. They are not there, again, for that paycheck that they get because it's not much money. Although people say, yes, it adds up, but I promise you they're not there for $55 a game to get yelled at and screamed at by parents and sometimes coaches. But again, we're always looking for umpires. We are going to do an umpire advertising campaign on our social pages this summer to kind of recruit for the fall season, to get them ready for spring. So you should probably start seeing that out there as we do some Facebook ads for that. But
Yeah, I think that's something that I'm excited to see the social media stuff, and I'll make sure I push it out too, because the more we have out there, the more people see that as an option, I think.
for sure, for sure.
So that kind of goes to this next thing, biggest challenges. Like what are, like of course umpires on there, but what are the biggest challenges right now? I know like field usage was one we talked about before, and when you went from 850 to over 1200 players, like that's going to be an issue, I'm sure. So is that still a big challenge for you guys, or is it starting to resolve itself a little bit?
Yeah, so with that growth, so just in 2022 to 2023, we went from in 2022 about 1,050 kids to 2023 right at 1,200. And with that does come a lot of field availability issues. It's so on a typical night, if you have 100, 102 teams, we're talking about 50. This is just, using easy numbers for me because I'm terrible at math. So we're looking at 50 teams that need a practice field each night, and St. Mary's Little League is only permitted about 43 fields. And that's not an, a issue or anything with Rec and Park or the county. It's just we don't have that many fields available to us. Just because it's the fields haven't been built. I think the last baseball field that was built was Lancaster Park, and that was probably 20 years ago or so. There's two ways to look at that from a Little League perspective and from a parent perspective. From a Little League perspective, we could limit registration numbers, right? We could say, you know what, the magic number for us is like 1,000 kids. If we go any further than that, we know we're going to have field availability issues. So let's cap it. I've made the decision the last few seasons to not cap our registration. And I know that has probably made a couple parents a little angry because of field issues. But the end goal is I can't go and fight and ask for this and that from the county commissioners or Rec and Park. And fight isn't the word I want to use. I can't go to the county commissioners or Rec and Park and say, hey, we really need to look at more baseball softball facilities because our numbers are X amount. So if I limit it and cap it, they're going to say, well, you have only 1,000 kids. Why do you need more fields? But if I let it grow organically, like it has been doing, and, Babe Ruth organization, youth T-ball, travel organizations, they're doing the same thing, all growing the sport down here. It helps us get the fields that we need to keep the sport growing and sustaining. So that's kind of been the biggest issue is that field availability. I know practices in this spring season were a little bit of a nightmare for some divisions because, oh, you didn't get to feel it in majors, but
No, we were good. We were good at majors. We played Wildwood once or twice, and that needs a little bit of an update, but that's the thing. Some of these fields just need updates. Like the Wildwood one, it's a neat field. It's a really cool little spot. It's tucked back in the trees. It's got that almost classic sandlotty type of feel to it, and just some update. I'm guessing from the county and different workers throughout there can make a huge difference. And then that's a usable field that you could use for games and practices. And same with the one, what's that, Town Creek, the Dean Field? Is that Dean Field? The one in Town Creek? It's another just really neat community field. And it's crazy that, we're not seeing those maintain more. But I'm guessing there's something with the communities themselves, the county, and St. Mary's Little League. It's that's a lot of people coming together to have that conversation. That just takes time.
Yeah, for sure. And so with Dean Field and Wildwood, we actually have agreements in place with the owners of that. So Dean Field is owned by a local family, and Little League has an agreement in place that we are essentially responsible for the maintenance of it, which this agreement just came in place not too long ago, a couple seasons back. So we're starting to dive into that, get our feet wet, knowing how much it costs to, you know, get the grass cut there, have a porta potty there, things like that. So we're trying to do the same at Wildwood as well. You know, that's owned by the HOAs there in the Wildwood community, but we've been working with them just starting this spring season to kind of get that field in shape similar to Dean and have a nice maintenance plan in place that, you know, makes it, gets it back to that community field that all those years ago was a sought after field for games. It was, you know, a beautiful place to play. So it's getting there. It's getting there, and it's, you know, taking a little bit of legwork behind the scenes to get there, but you know, we're getting it.
Yeah. And so it sounds like there's a path forward for field usage, you know, and hopefully the league keeps growing and you keep improving the ones we have, hopefully building a few more and getting some more state of the art facilities. I don't know how many times as a parent listening at games and stuff like that, and talking to other parents and even talking to people that are moving here, one of the biggest requests they have is, well, something like Willow's Rec Center. Now that's gone, but something like that baseball related, whether it be, you know, a batting cage or just some sort of indoor facility. It would be interesting to see what comes in the next few years with all this obvious demand for baseball and for sports in the county, more field usage, and if we're going to get some sort of indoor facility or some sort of facility that will kind of support that as well and develop those players too. Because you got a lot of eager kids that want to be developed, and they don't want to have to drive to Waldorf or Annapolis or even further to go do that.
Yeah, and we've been you know, losing Willow's Rec in our off season is it's going to be, it's unfortunate, but it's very fortunate for the gymnastics community to pick up that facility to get the things that they need to keep their sport sustaining and growing. So happy to see Willow's Rec getting to put to good use for our local community. But you're right, with baseball and softball, we're missing that indoor facility that could offer the batting cage aspect, a little bit of field work, pitching work, catching work, that type of training that there are kids and families that are looking for. We got a couple things in the work, a couple irons in the fire, speak from a league perspective, that we're trying to utilize since we know we'll be missing Willow's Rec this season. More to come on that. I can't make any announcements, but could be.
I was sitting on the edge of my seat wondering what was going to be said next. I was guessing something with St. Mary's College or CSM. Those are my two guesses.
We're rolling.
We can talk about that one.
Yeah. That's a conversation for a different day, but it's all good stuff.
I like that too. That's a good indoor facility. We did our showcase, I guess, is what it would be called, for majors there. And man, they're always, I'm biased, I'm an alumni, but they're always great there. The AD and all those people there are top notch people. So hopefully we can make that work. And some of the best summer camps definitely happen at St. Mary's College. You get to eat lunch for free in the cafeteria. So my son loves going to camp there. So maybe we can get a baseball camp started up there. So we talked about what St. Mary's Little League is doing with Dean and with Wildwood and working with that. What is St. Mary's County Parks and Rec doing right now with the fields we actually have?
Yeah. So we've been working with Rec and Park for the last 2 or 3 years to kind of get our county fields up to par. And they've put in a lot of time and effort behind the scenes to kind of get those fields to a better quality baseball and softball field. And so what they're getting ready to do is they're going to look at introducing a new mixture to about 19 fields that has a lot of clay into it. And what that does is that will take it from the sandy aspect of having too much sand content in that infield mix to giving it a clay mixture that absorbs water better, that is more durable in the sense that it doesn't dig in like a beach, but it digs in like an actual baseball field, and give the opportunity for those fields to be playable after a little bit of rain. So they've been working really hard behind the scenes getting that set up. They're going to start with a field here this summer for that renovation and then move forward with the other 18, making sure that field fits that standard that they've set. We have a new light policy in place, which has been tremendous and has saved the league some money that we've worked with Rec and Park to get. They are looking at some small-term improvements, such as more batting cages at some of the fields, pitchers' warm-up areas at some of the county fields, all things that will help the sport not only grow, but help the kids that are currently in it get what they need from a baseball, softball perspective, right? There is some talks later on down the road about the potential for a couple fields to do a turf conversion, specifically infield turf conversion. There are a lot of pros and cons with that, that we're weighing, that Rec and Park is weighing, that everybody is talking about, but that discussion is in place as well. And can't thank the county enough for working with us to get all of these improvements in place to give baseball and softball kiddos the attention they deserve, you know?
Yeah, and I imagine like the improvements too aren't just going to help with playability when it's nice out, but one of the biggest problems, it seems, for scheduling for you guys has got to be all the cancellations we were getting with the different rain days and stuff like that. And you would always see the synthetic fields and stuff like that would be open for practice. But maybe this new field mixture or the, you know, the infield, new infield dirt and stuff like that, and some possible synthetic fields will get more kids playing. Because I know, you know, I taught fifth grade up until a few days ago. And I would get the notifications that fields were closed, and not a single kid was happy when fields were closed. Every single kid was upset when they didn't have practice, when they didn't have their game, because they look forward to going and being with their friends and being on the field. And like I said, too, from a scheduling standpoint, trying to do makeup games or trying to make up practices and all that kind of stuff, it's got to be a nightmare on your end and the coach's end, too.
That's what it's about, right? Getting kids out there playing baseball and softball. And, you know, with the current mixture, it just doesn't absorb and drain like it should, but the idea and goal of this new mixture, and with Rec and Park working with an actual company, their name's DuraEdge, that specializes in baseball, softball, infield mixes. They really got the science down behind that mixture to hopefully prevent all of these field closures because of rain. So more to come on that. We're excited for it. And, you know, hopefully come fall time, and if one field's done, and spring next year, when more fields are done, we see that improvement and less cancellations to, you know, have practices and games. Because once you start canceling those games, it's a tedious process to start rescheduling and making the schedules work again. So
especially with 1,200 and some odd kids and teams and all that kind of stuff and coaches and schedules. And I mean, it's gotta be hard. Sorry. We've covered a lot today. Kind of give the people listening right now, you know, we've talked all about St. Mary's Little League, give the people listening right now, an idea of how they can sign up for St. Mary's Little League. What ages are there? Where can they go? Do you guys do fall and spring season? Like, what's kind of the overview of that?
Yeah. So we offer baseball and softball for, I'm gonna say league age 4 all the way up to 16, and league age is a little confusing. So, if your kid turns 4 before August 31st of any given year, meaning they can be 3 for the entire spring season, they can play biddy ball with us. We have many divisions that we offer, starting at biddy ball, which is kind of that introduction to the sport. It's T-ball, put that in quotes, but it's one practice a week. It's getting them, you know, the very basic fundamentals of how to hold a baseball, swing a bat, those things. That is a co-ed division. Then we have T-ball, which is a co-ed division. And then we have coach pitch baseball, which can be co-ed. We've had girls play that before. But then we have on the softball side, pony softball. And then we go on both divisions, minors, majors, juniors, and seniors. So there's baseball and softball available for kids that are ages 3 all the way to 16. We do run a lot of ages. It's great. We do run a spring and fall season. So our spring season is considered for the majors and up. It's the competitive season. There's tournaments. There's all-stars. There's playoffs. They get the best quality uniforms. We're talking MLB replicas and the softball professional replicas. So it's really a big season for us. That's when we have that reach that 1,200 mark this spring. And then our fall season is a little more laid back. There's run limits in place for the older divisions. We don't do the high quality jersey because we want to keep the registration costs very low in the fall for our parents. It's 12-week season still in the fall. We play through, I think, the first week of November. The point where we're losing light in the last 2 to 3 weeks, there's no practices. It's just games because we have to utilize fields with lights. Registration for our fall season is actually going to be opening up here. If I play my cards right and do my volunteer duties like I'm supposed to, it should open up by Friday or Saturday. And then spring season usually opens up around the end of December, early January.
All right, RJ. Well, thanks for being on today, and thank you to the audience for watching. RJ, what's the best way that someone can get in touch with you or St. Mary's Little League about registering their kid?
Yeah, so the one of the best ways to get in touch with us is on our Facebook page, and maybe you can share that link or tag us in the post. We do have somebody that monitors our direct messages there. Which they answer around the clock. So if, you know, it's midnight, I might answer it. If it's, you know, during the day, someone else will answer it. But if you don't have Facebook, no issue. You can go on our Little League website, which if you search St. Mary's Little League, sorry, Zach bought this new cat in. If you search St. Mary's Little League on Google, it's always going to be the first hit. There, that's where you'll have the registration link and all that fun stuff.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you being on here, and I look forward to this fall when we're playing baseball.
I appreciate you having me, Rob. Thank you.